Good morning. Today's Daf Mabba Kama Lamed Vav. We are on the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amad Aleph. Let's get underway. Our goals for today, catch up. That's our primary goal. And hopefully get good pshat in the Gemara. If you can, by the way, let's flip around those two goals. Okay, I'd rather have good pshat in the Gemara than catch up, but okay. Shor Shaya Rodif Acha Shor Acher. Okay, so the Mishnah is going to introduce us now to a very basic concept within halacha, and that is that if you're going to extract money from somebody, so you have to have definitive proof that he, in fact, owes you the money. You cannot just simply lay a claim on somebody and say, hey, that's mine. Okay. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. But in other words, but the halacha is always going to be favoring the person who is holding the money. In halacha, we describe this as hamotzi mechaver ala veraya. If you're trying to extract money, hamotzi mechaver ala veraya. The burden of proof is on you. In other words, he's a mochzak, he's the one holding the money. You want to take money out of his hands. So in other words, you need to have the burden of proof. That's the idea. All we're going to do in this Mishnah is just express this idea in so many different ways. But in other words, once you're guided by that general klal in Mamonos, and by the way, this is a general klal that comes up again and again, in Babas, Kama, Mitzia, and Basra, all we're going to see is this idea reiterated time and again. Okay, but this is, I think, in Baba Kama, our first time that we're really submerging ourselves into this idea. So once you're chasing another, in order for damage to occur, so you know there was a chase. That much you know. However, now in terms of the actual collision itself, so we didn't see that. So there was no visibility, and there was no witnesses towards the actual collision. So now claims, and the claims are, right, your animal did the damage, and the other one says no. In other words, there was a chase, but then what happened is that the animal, your animal that was being chased, ran into a rock. The rock caused the damage. So here we go. Now, motzi mechaver ala veraya. So here we have the Mishnah introducing us to this really big concept, and that is that you want to extract money from me, so you need to have the burden of proof. You didn't see the collision. There were no witnesses who saw the collision, and so therefore everything at this point in time is speculation. You're not going to be extracting money from me. Now, two animals were chasing. One animal was being chased. So there are three animals involved. In this particular case, these two animals are owned by two different people. So now, ze omer shor chayizik, ve ze omer shor chayizik. So shnei peturim, im lo hayu shneihem shel, im hayu shneihem, sorry, shel shecha shneihem chayavim. So, we know that there was damage that was done by one of the Shevarim, but we don't know which one it is, and he's just simply claiming, look, it's got to be one of yours, right? So, he may be right, but in the event that the two animals are owned by two different people, so he cannot definitively prove which one of them is responsible, the responsible party, so therefore, once again, motzi mechaver ala veraya. It's true, one of the animals did the damage, but he doesn't know which one, and he can't extract money from them. The Mishnah, however, contrasts, on the other hand, if the two animals are owned by one person, so now it's one address in terms of ownership, for sure in such a case it would be liability. Good. Now, haya echad gadov echad katan. So we are in a three animal situation here again. Two animals are pursuing. One animal is being pursued. The two animals are owned by one person. So far, so good. We're just going to add a couple more variables over here. The Mishnah is really going to play around with various variables. So haya echad gadov echad katan. So let's say one of the animals was large, one of the animals was small. That's on the pursuing side. So hanizik armer gadol hizik vaamazik armer loki ela katan hizik. And so now, which animal did the damage? So as far as the nizak is concerned, obviously he's going to do what's in his best interest. And that is that the claim is that the one that did the damage, you know which one did the damage? The larger animal. We're going to assume right now, and the Gemara is going to tell us that we're right. Okay, it does help, by the way, when you read ahead. But in other words, we're going to assume right now that as far as the animals that we're pursuing, they were both tamim, which means now that, remember, damages are going to get capped as per the value of the animal that did the damage. Obviously, now it's in the interest of the Nizak to say that the larger animal is the one that did the damage, right? As now, what you're basically doing is that you're increasing the cap of how much you're going to be able to get paid. Good. So that's his claim, that the larger one did the damage. But again, no one actually saw the damage. In other words, we know there was a pursuit. We know one of them did damage, but after that, we don't know definitively. So the Nizak is claiming, but no proof. And the mazik will just simply say, look, I'm going to own up to one of my animals doing the damage, but it's not the larger one, it's the smaller one, thus reducing the cap. Now, echad tam ve'echad muad. So now the Mishnah just gives us another example. Again, two animals are in pursuit. These two animals are owned by one person. One of the animals does damage. The Nizik now is making a claim. So, echad tam ve'echad muad. A Nizik omer muad Nizik. V'hamazik omer lo ki alatam Nizik. Hamotzim echaver ala v'raya. So again, simple illustration of this principle, which is that the Nizak is claiming the Muad is the one that did the damage because the Muad obviously is uncapped. In other words, now in this claim, he's able to get to receive full reparation. On the other hand, the Mazik says, look, I'm admitting one of my animals did the damages, but it's the Tom. It's the Tom that did the damages. So now, again, we'll get to in the Gemara whether or not how definitively the Mazik has to know this information. But regardless, however, he's saying, look, you don't know it was the Muad. Could be the Tom, which then obviously is going to cap the amount that I have to pay. So once again, how are we going to resolve? The resolution is going to, it's the same resolution every time. Hamotzi mechaver ol avaraya. Hayu anizak mishnayim mecha gadol vecha katan. So let's say the shvarim that belong to the nizak are two, one's large, one's small. And hamazik mishnayim mecha gadol vecha katan. Okay, again, just more cases, more illustrations, more examples. So over here, it's two on two. Two pursuing animals, two animals that are being pursued. Damage occurs. And now, Hanizek Omer Gadol, Hizek as a Gadol. And Katan as a Katan. So now, as far as the Nizak is concerned, what's his claim? Again, his claim is going to be what serves him best. And that is a large animal damage a large animal, a small animal damage a small animal. And we're assuming, of course, is that the damage done to the large animal is maximum damage, whatever the number is. We don't have to give out numbers right now. Whatever the number is, it's maximum damage. And now so what does he want? Obviously, he wants to be compensated to the max. So the only way that he's going to be able to be compensated to the max is by drawing from an account that's larger. Which account is larger? The large animal, small animal? Obviously, the larger animal's count is larger. Again, we're assuming over here, the animals that were doing the pursuing, they are tamim, and so therefore, you're only going to be able to extract only up to the value of the animal. So again, from the Nizak's perspective, his version of what happened, large animal hit large animal, small animal hit small animal, and that way he's going to be compensated to the max. And now the Mazik will make a counterclaim and they'll say that the large animal damaged a small animal. Small animal damaged a large animal. And that will minimize the amount that he's going to have to pay. So, and before the Mishnah even tells us what the halach is, we already know what the halach is. Again, in this Mishnah, there's one point that the Mishnah is making, just various illustrations all to make one point. Echad tam ve'echad muad, hanizik omer muad hizik es agadol, and tam es akatan. Hamazik omer loki ala tam es agadol, umuad es akatan, so hamotzi mechaver ala v'raya. And so this last case over here, extraordinarily simple. Simple after seeing all the previous cases. Again, it's a two on two. Two animals are damaging two animals. Two animals that are damaging are owned by one person. The two animals being damaged are owned by one person. One of the animals is the tam, the other one's the muad. And obviously now, as far as the Nizak is concerned, he's going to want to maximize his compensation. His claim is going to be that the Muad animal it hit my larger animal, and the Tom animal hit my smaller animal. Again, maximizing his compensation. And the Mazik's counterclaim is that no, my Muad hit your small animal, and my Tom hit your large animal, thus capping the amount of compensation that the Mazik is going to be receiving on behalf of his large animal. Okay.
I think the friendship between the Tam and the Muad, is there a sign on them?
They know the differences between animals. You and I don't. I'll speak for myself. I there's no way I could go ahead and identify one animal over another. Back in the day, in other words, in agricultural society, they know. Okay. All right. We have over here.
It's not about Moto. It makes sense when the Mazik says.
It's not modem and mixas. In other words, the hoda over here is that I'm agreeing to the collision, I'm agreeing to the damages. But in terms of what happened, so my version obviously is different than your version. Okay. Where are we right now? So we are one Mishnah, one point, numerous illustrations. But over here, I have taina taina. I have claim counterclaim. And over here in a claim counterclaim, so what do? What we say is that we're always going to award the muchzak. The muchzak. I say award the muchzak, by the way. Again, hopefully I was clear about it in the Mishnah. I don't mean that we're giving him money. I'm just simply saying that whatever version of the story is going to serve him best is the version that we're going to work with. Why? Because we're trying to take money out of him. And hamotzi mechaver al averaya. Even though obviously the nizak is making a claim that entitles him to more money, but again, he doesn't have proof, so therefore he's not going to get that. All we're going to give him is the counterclaim of the mazik, which obviously is going to minimize the amount he's going to have to pay, in lieu of the fact that there is no proof. Good. Now, throughout Shas, and here in today's daf, a wonderful illustration. I know it's yesterday's daf, but in today's daf, we now are going to be introduced briefly to the opinion of Simcha. Simcha says that when I have money and there's a debate about who is ownership of the money, what do we do? Yachloku. What we're going to do is that we're going to take that money and divide the money. That's the opinion of Simchas throughout Shas. We're going to have an extensive discussion of Simchas in the beginning of Bamitzia. Right there, page one, really daf base. So over there, right, two people holding on to a talis, and what do? Yachloku. We're going to go ahead and divide that talis. That's the first sugya of Bamitzia. So over there, we'll speak about it in more detail. But over here, we're just going to touch on the position of Simchas, which is that, you know what we'll do? We're arguing about money. Let's divide the money. Right, it's always right. Compromise is great, and look, he's got a claim. Okay, good. Each one will get half. Okay, you've heard me say this before. Now I got to say it on record. What's the definition of a compromise? Everyone is unhappy. Okay, good. Perfect. Which means then that, in other words, we didn't do what was necessarily right, but in other words, we don't know, and the money's there's debate about the money. So yachloki, so you divide it. It goes without saying that Simchas is not going to say that in every event. In other words, there is going to be limitations on the position of Simchas. Now is not going to be the time, but just know that as I present Simchas, it's not as simple as I'm presenting it.
His idea about modern mixes, though, is an interesting question, because if he's saying his side of the story in order to avoid payment, because his side of the story avoids payment, by admitting that it happened, doesn't that create a chai of a shvur at least?
Okay, it's fair. It's fair to ask. He is not denying the claim. All he's doing is just simply painting a picture of here's what happened.
But on the skew.
Correct, correct.
Not a chai of a payment.
Correct. No, your point is excellent. The point is excellent.
So the question is, should he swear?
Right, correct. In other words, if it's real modeh b'miksa, should he swear?
Right.
So over here, modeh b'miksa typically is that the claim is I owe you 100, and I say to you, I don't owe you 100, I owe you 50.
Right.
Right? So I am objecting to the number that you're saying. Over here, I agree that there's nezek, but the way you portrayed how it happened is different than the way I portrayed it. You're right. It ends up coming out that obviously I'm reducing the amount that I owe you.
Right.
But it's not exactly the...
Shouldn't he have to swear that animal
I hear you.
Other?
Could be you're right. Could be. I don't know. I don't know. But I see the cases as being different. But the point is very well taken. Right, correct. Good, you're with me. Okay, good. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Zoso Meres, Chalukin Alav Chavero Simchas Damra, Mamun Amuta Basafik Cholkin. So now Rabbi Chiya bar Abba makes the observation. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is not taking the position of Simchas. Right, Chalukim Chachamim Al, I'm sorry, Chalukin Chaverav Al Simchas. So in other words, Simchas is a position, but it really is a minority position. And the vast majority of Chachamim disagree. And what do? You see that from our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, what do we have? We have a dispute. And what are we always going to do? We're going to favor the Mazik and his version. But now there's a debate about that money. I know there's a debate about that money, but Hamotzi Mechaver Al Averaya. And obviously that is counter to the position of Simchas. So Amalei Rabbi Abba Bar Mamala Rabbi Chebra Abba Amar Simchus Afilu Bari Ubari. So now as far as Simchus is concerned, so when we say that you're going to take money in dispute and you're going to divide that money, even if the two claims are absolutely certain, he's asking, is Simchus going to say it in such a situation? Amalei in. Amar Simchus Afilu Bari Ubari. So even if the claims are coming from points of certainty, each one. Now, each one of the claims is not coming with proof, obviously, but in other words, but the claims are from each perspective. They they feel confidently that this is what happened. Simchas would say, under those circumstances, the money's going to get divided. Good. And again, the whole point is that our Mishnah is against, it's counter to Simchas. So how do I know that our Mishnah is talking about where the claims are coming from the perspective of Bari? Certainty. Right? Listen to the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying the words low-key. No, that's not what happened. This is what happened. So in other words, everyone is giving real affirmation to what they believe happened. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that the Mishnah is coming from a position of claims made with certainty. Really? Keep going in the Mishnah. And that is Ema Seifa. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Hayecha gadol vecha katan. Nizek amar gadol hizek umazek amar loki ela katan hizek. Echa tam vecha muad. Nizek amar muad hizek amazek amar loki ela tam hizek. Hamotzi mechaver ala varaya. Okay, so we just cited the last cases of the Mishnah. Now, halo maisi raya shaka kadamar mazik. So the Gemara says, now, if if there was no raya that was given, so then, shakel kedamer mazik. So then we're going to go with the mazik's version of the story. So neima tehave tiyufta de rabba bar nasan. So the Gemara says, if this is in fact so, meaning that the entire Mishnah is framed under the category of bari or bari, and in the latter cases of the Mishnah, where the nizak's version is, your large animal hit my large animal, your small animal hit my small animal, in cases like that. And we said that if no proof is afforded, so now what we're going to do is that we're going to go with the Mazik's version. Okay, so it's a lot of setup, I know. So it's bari vabari, no proof, we're going with the Mazik's version. Okay, I admit, it's a lot. But if assuming all that, so now what ends up happening is, tiyufta de Rabba Bar Nasan, so now what that's going to do is it's going to knock out the viewpoint of Rabba Bar Nasan. What is the viewpoint of Rabba Bar Nasan? And that is Tanuchitim, Odol Abasarim Pater. Okay. Rabba Bar Nasan discusses the following scenario. I say to you, hey, Alan, right, you owe me wheat. And Alan comes back at me and says, Sugarman, you're a nice guy, but I don't owe you wheat, I owe you barley. Okay, so he is, on one hand, totally rejecting my claim. On the other hand, he's making an admission. In other words, if anything, I owe you barley. Obviously, something went wrong with communication. Whatever the case, so in other words, so over here you don't say something. In other words, you're specific about what you.
No, but I'm saying this is by admitting that I owe you whatever right. I say. It doesn't matter. I'm still admitting
correct.
That I owe you something.
Right. So in other words, so now, as Rabbi Manasson says that under those circumstances, pater and pater is pater legamre. In other words, Alan's going to have to owe me zero. Why? Because as far as my claim is concerned, a full rejection of what I said. In other words, I said, you owe me wheat, and he says, no. In other words, I don't. And again, I don't have proof. If I had proof, then obviously we go to court and I collect. I don't have proof. I'm just simply making a claim. His counterclaim is that I don't owe you wheat. Now, he does, at that point in time, admit to owing of the barley. So, wait 1 second. Let me just speak this out. So according to Rabbi Bar Nasan, so now he doesn't even owe me that as well. Why? Because within my claim, I'm saying that the only thing you owe me is wheat. So whatever now he admits after that, let's say I owe you barley. In other words, within my claim, I am denying the fact that you even owe me the wheat. Now, obviously, you can gift if you want. And in other words, you could be moch, whatever. In other words, but from a strict standpoint of halacha, when I say you owe me wheat, so the way Rabba Bar Nasan understands that, it's wheat to the exclusion of anything else. Which means now that if you deny the wheat and admit to owing me anything else, you don't owe anything. Okay.
If one says, I owe you $100.
But I understand, but that's money. That's a currency.
Okay, I owe you a car. That's going to enforce that?
No, that's a taina. Okay.
So he might say he doesn't even have to pay the barley if he doesn't want
it. Right, correct. Okay, so So now, if we're understanding our Mishnah correctly, so what we're also doing is that the Mishnah now. Good. It's on record, noted. So now it comes out that our Mishnah is going to be going against the position of Rabba Bar Nasan, and the Gemara says, and let's not do that. Meaning, Rabba Bar Nasan's position is something we would like to try to defend, and the Gemara is going to try to defend it. So the Gemara says, Ella Bebari Vishema the Gemara. I'm sorry, Ella Bebari Vishema. So as far as understanding the tainas of our Mishnah, so one is a bari and the other one's the Shema. The Gemara bari man, the Gemara Shema man. So the Gemara says, okay, who's the bari and who's the Shema? Okay, so the Gemara says like this, Enim the Gemara Nizak bari the Gemara Mazik Shema. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the Nizak is the one saying it with certainty and the Mazik is saying it with uncertainty, so it would still come out that our Mishnah is going to be refuting the position of Rabbi Bar Nassan. And again, in service of trying to defend Rabbi Bar Nassan, the Gemara says, let's try that again. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll give it a different try. Ela dekamar Nizak Shema vekamar Mazik Bari. So it's the Nizak that's saying Shema and the Mazik that's saying it with certainty. Umidasefa Nizak Shema Mazik Bari, Reishanami Nizak Shema Mazik Bari. So the Gemara says, again, what we'd like to do is we'd like to have consistency in the Mishnah, which means that the entire Mishnah is where the Nizak is saying, this is plausibly what happened, and the Mazik is saying, no, this is what happened. So the Gemara says, Amar Simchas, Afila Bahadi, Yitzrich Lashmin and Delo. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so now what we tried to do with our Mishnah, use it as a referendum on the position of Simchas. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. In other words, if our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Nizak is saying, here's what may have happened, and the Mazik is saying, no, this is what happened, so then our Mishnah no longer is in service of rejecting the position of Simchas, because Simchas may only be limited to a case of Bari and Bari. So the Gemara says, Seifa Nizak, so the Gemara tried number three, Seifa Shemo Mazik Bari. So the Gemara says is that in the last case of the Mishnah, so the Seifa, the Nizak is saying this is plausibly what happened. The Mazik is saying this is definitely what happened. And Reisha Nizak Bari Umazik Shema. So the Gemara says, and the Reisha, it's just the opposite. Flip it. Vahalo Dami Reisha La Seifa. So the Gemara says, well, then what we're doing is then that we solve for every problem. Meaning, in doing so, on one hand, we defended Rabbi Bar Nassan. On the other hand, we also used our Mishnah as a referendum against Simchas. We did everything we need to do, but of course the problem is that what you're doing is you're flipping the cases of the Mishnah. So Haloi Dami Yerash L'Seifa, the Gemara says, Bari Amri, Bari V'Shema, Shema Bari Chad Milsehi, Bari Bari, Shema Bari, Trey Mili Ninu. So the Gemara says, look, it is not as offensive to take Bari and Shema and flip it. In other words, you're right, but categorically it remains one category. To have the Mishnah go from Bari Bari and then transition to Bari Shema, those are two different categorical cases, and that would be offensive. The Mishnah wouldn't do that. That would be inconsistent on the part of the Mishnah. But as long as the Mishnah remains within Bari Vishema, and all we're doing is just flipping on who says Bari, who says Shema, that's not so bad. That's not inconsistent. The Mishnah is entitled to do so. Okay, so where are we right now in the Gemara? So two points that resonate from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is making one central point, which is Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya. If you want to extract money from somebody, so proof positive needs to be advanced. You can't simply make a claim and get money. And even if the counterclaim sounds similar to your claim, but it doesn't matter. In other words, the only way someone can extract money from you is only if there is absolute evidence. Witnesses, an admission, but there has to be actual evidence. Fine. That's number one. Then after that, we have litigated two tentacles, if you will, from our Mishnah. One is that our Mishnah is clearly refuting the position of Simchas. Simchas says is that we have a debate of money, so what we'll do is that we'll split the money. And our Mishnah is a referendum against that position. That's number one. And number two, Rabbi Bar Nassan. Rabbi Bar Nassan says that if I make a claim that you owe me wheat, and your counterclaim is that no, in fact, but rather I owe you barley. So Rabbi Bar Nassan says, Pater Ligamre, he doesn't owe anything. And we explained that position. Is our Mishnah countering that point? So the Gemara really a little bit twisted into a pretzel, our Mishnah, in order to point that our Mishnah is not necessarily a refutation of Rabbi Bar Nassan. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Bar Nassan, Tanuchitim Vodol Abasarim Pater, my Kamash Malan Tanina, Tanuchitim Vodol Abasarim Pater. The Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Nassan's an Amora. He made the following declaration. A claim of wheat, a counterclaim of barley. Yes, I owe you barley. So then the halacha is you owe nothing. Okay, good. He's an Amora. Now what the Gemara points out is that That's great that the Amor is teaching us that. We have a Mishnah that says effectively the same thing. Not effectively. The Mishnah in Shavuot says exactly that point. And so now it only... The question here is simple. What is he adding that we didn't know already from the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, yeah. I'll tell you what he's adding. If all I had was the Mishnah, I would have said the following. I say to Alan, you owe me barley. I say to Alan, you owe me wheat. Alan says that, no, I only owe you barley. If all I had was the Mishnah, I would have said, okay, so he's not going to pay me wheat. In other words, we're not going to honor my claim, but he tells me, owes me barley. That's what I would have said had I only had the Mishnah. Along comes Rabbi Bar Nassan, and he adds, no, patul gamre. No, because when within my claim of you owe me wheat, what I'm saying is you owe me wheat and you don't owe me anything else. So whatever he admits to, he's not going to have to pay because that runs counter to my claim. Good. In other words, patur legamre. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Bar Nassan. Tenan, we learned in our Mishnah. And I'm going to run fast over here because all we're going to do is cite case after case of our Mishnah and see whether or not this really plays out. So case number one is that Echagad v'echa katan, large animal, small animal. So halamaisi rai shaka kadam ramazik. Now, if the Niza cannot bring proof, so now what we're going to do is we're going to honor the claim of the mazik. Good, exactly what we said back in the Mishnah. So amai chitim asarim ninu. So isn't that case comparable to the case of chitim and saorim? And again, if I subscribe to Rabbi Bar Nassan, how much are you going to owe? Zero. But our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah says is that we're going to honor the version of the mazik, which means that there is going to be some payment. Our Mishnah is against Rabbi Bar Nassan. So the Gemara says, no, rar le tova ain lo. So the Gemara says, now you know how you can understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah says is that in theory, the mazik owes, but he's not going to actually have to pay. Why? Because of Rabbi Bar Nassan. In other words, because the claim of the mazik is running counter to the claim of the nizak. And again, according to Rabbi Bar Nassan, you don't owe anything. So v'hatanya ariz mishtalim ala katan min agadov ala gadov min akatan. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa doesn't say that. In other words, the Braisa says with clarity. Admittedly, the Mishnah does make this point clear, but the Braisa point makes this point very clear, and that is that there is going to be payment as per the version of the mazik. Obviously, it's less money, but there's going to be some payment, and again, that's against Rabbi Bar Nassan. So the Gemara says the tafas. Well, maybe the Braisa is talking about where the Nizak did a tfisa. He aggressively took the money that he believes that he's entitled to. Under those circumstances, so we're going to allow him to take, but only as per the version of the mazik, not as per his own version of what happened. But in other words, without tfisa, Beis Din itself will not be able to award the money. Why? Because Rabbi Bar Nassan. Let's do this round number two. We're going to do several rounds of this. Tanan. Haya echad tam ve'echad muad anizak amar muad. In fact, this is just really, all we're doing is just going case by case in the Mishnah. It's going to be the same back and forth, which means I'm just going to keep reading. Again, that case is a case of chitim saorim, right? Claim, counterclaim, and yet, the Mishnah says is that there is going to be a reduced payment. Not like Rabbi Bar Nassan. Riley Tovain Lo. And as we turn out to today's Daf Lamed Vav, so the Gemara's answer is the same. In theory, the money is going to be owed, but really and practically speaking, there's no money that's going to be transferred. Again, because this is Chitim Sa'orim. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya Ariza Mishalim L'kata Min Amuad V'legadol Min Hatam. Yeah, but the Braisa tells us there is going to be payment, albeit reduced. So the Gemara says, the Tafas. Once again, the Gemara says that Braisa is talking about a case where Tfisa was done. Okay. Yeah.
It seems to be a trump card.
Yeah, correct. Okay, so as you could see, our Gemara today, yesterday's Daf, today's Daf, spent a lot of time defending the position of Rabbi Bar Nassan. Certainly what we're hearing is that, right, that's a very strong nod in his position that Tanu Chitim v'hoda besorim pater legamre. Right, it's really a chiddush. It really is. Right, if left to my own devices... Okay, which thankfully the world is not left to my own devices, but left to my own devices, I would have said that if I went to Alan and said, you owe me wheat, and he says, no, you're right, you got it wrong. I owe you barley. I would have suggested that the halach is that he should at least pay me the barley. That was his admission. But what Rabbi Bar Nassan is making the chadish is, no, he owes me nothing, he owes me zero. because in other words, we are not agreeing to what the obligation is over, and so therefore, zero. He owes me zero. Again, if he wants to gift me, that's fine. But from a strict standpoint of halacha, he owes me zero. That's a chiddush. The Gemara spent a lot of time today defending the chiddush of Rabbi Bar Nassan. Okay. Hayu shneim shal ishecha shneim chayavim. If the two animals are owned by one person, so then so they're going to be chayav. So Amalei Rabba mi parzika le Rav Ashi shmamina shvarim tamim shehiziku ratza mizegova ratza mizegova. Okay, so nice simple halacha, and that is that the two animals that are in pursuit are both tamim. They're both owed by one person, and now they damage my animal. One of them damaged my animal, so now what I can do is I can extract payment from either one of them. Dealer's choice. I could choose which one of them. Now, hachabem ma'iskinan.
There's a suffix there, no? If you don't know which exactly.
Well, in other words, if there's a discrepancy in value, so then we go back to our Mishnah. In other words, and obviously then you're going to have to...
The same value.
Correct. Let's assume it's the same value. So, hachabem ma'iskinan b'muadim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe our Mishnah's case is talking about Muad. So the Gemara says, no, not that case of the Mishnah. Ibu Muad imei masefa. Hayach gadol vechek katan. Hanizek armer gadol hizek v'amazek armer loki ala katan hizek. Hamotzi mechaver alavaraya. Ibu Muad imei nafkalemina. Sof demei turam alia by lishlume. In other words, in the case of small, large animal. Well, again, the Mazik's viewpoint is that big damage, small damage, big. Again, to cap the amount that he's going to have to pay. And the Nizak's version, obviously, is going to go, no, big, big, small, small. So that would expand the amount. It'll raise the cap of how much he's going to be able to receive. Clearly, we're talking about caps. Clearly, we're talking about tamim. So the Gemara says, that case is clearly talking about a case of tamim. Had it been talking about muadim, who cares? Meaning, whatever the damage is, that's what you're going to have to pay. So Amrlay Seifa B'tamim. So he says, okay, you're right. That case is talking about a tam. I'm not disputing that. Reisha b'muad, but the first case of the Mishnah is talking about muad. So Amrlay Rav Acha Saba l'Rav Ashi I b'muadim chayavim chayv gavra mi ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, again, I really find that hard to imagine. First of all, if we were talking about in the first case of the Mishnah where it's muad, so then the language of the Mishnah is problematic. Meaning, the Mishnah says chayavim, which means that the animals are chayav. Now, obviously, shall we? Obviously, it does not mean that the animals have to pay. It means that the payment is coming from the animals, which means that we're talking about tam. If we were talking about muad, we wouldn't use the language of chayavim. The Mishnah would use the language of chayav. He's chayav. In other words, the animals are security towards it, but in other words, but he's chayav. Okay. So, visu maishnehim. And on top of that, it says shnehem, the two of them, meaning the two animals. It's talking about tam. El alolam b'tamim. The Gemara says the Mishnah is clearly talking about the case of tam. So Rabbi Kiva he damar shetvim ninu v'tamidis no l'tarvayu de la matzi matchilei avales no l'tarvayu matzi amalei zil aisi raya daitura azkan v'ashalem lach. And what's the point of the Mishnah? Meaning, if both animals are tamim, what would then be the point of the Mishnah? Now, again, what the point of the Mishnah could have been is Ratzimi Zegova. But the Gemara would like to offer another possibility of what the point of the Mishnah is. Both animals that did damage were tamim. Now, what the point of our Mishnah could be is the following, and that is that our Mishnah subscribes to Rabbi Kiva. Okay, what is the position of Rabbi Kiva? So again, we've been discussing it now for the last couple of days. We get to say it over again. When a tam does damage, so what does the Nizek become? A de facto partner in the animal. Good. Shutfus. Now, what does that mean? It means now in this funny scenario, two animals are in pursuit. Those two animals are owned by one person. Both of those animals are a tam. They do damage to my animal. I'm looking now to recoup. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, one of the animals did damage. We don't know which one of the animals did damage. Whichever it is, I am now a partner in that animal. It's not that he owes me the money. It's now that my payment is coming from one of those two animals, in which, according to Rabbi Kiva, I am the owner. Now, of one of those two animals, one of them runs away. That's the point the Mishnah is trying to make. In such a scenario, if one of the animals runs away, Nizak now has no recourse. Makes sense. In other words,
No recourse.
Meaning, now I'm going to go to the Mazik and say, hey, pay me. The Mazik is going to say to me, you know what happened to your payment? Your payment ran away. Because we're acknowledging, we're agreeing, one of my animals damaged you, but we don't know which one. And if we subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, that means that you are the owner of that animal. It's not that I owe you the money. It's that you now become a de facto partner in that animal. Well, one of the animals ran away. We don't know which one, meaning it could be the animal that damaged, it could be the animal that, I'm sorry, it could be the animal that did the damage, or it could be the animal that did not do the damage. We don't know. And now you're coming after me for my remaining animal. Okay. That is the end. That is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. Okay, good. Okay, parak dalin. Parak dalin, which also, funny enough, is Shor Shanagach dalin vehe. Okay, so okay, just helpful way to remember. Shor Shanagach arba v'chamisha shorim zecher zeh. So now I have a shor that went on a rampage. On a rampage, knocking out 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go even 5 animals in. Zeh acher zeh. Okay, now here's going to be a tricky part of the Mishnah. I'm going to beg you, just accept what I'm saying. And generally speaking, I don't ask you to do that. Right. I've quoted him before. My Rebbe from Yeshiva University, Rav Braunschweigel. So he would say that in Hashem you have emuna, and in your Rebbeim don't have that much emuna. In other words, he said it often. In other words, look things up and think for yourself. And okay, it was whatever. It was, obviously, lessons that have stayed with me for a really long time. But anyway, but please trust me, okay? Because I know this is going to be tricky. Okay, the animal damaged 4 or 5 times. Each one of them is a tom damage. Now I know already. In other words, after the third time, the animal's no longer a tom. The animal's a muon. I know that. You know that. Everybody knows that. The Mishnah here is interested in making a point. So in service of that point, we're going to ignore the animal transitioning from being a tam to being a muad. Okay. Can that happen? Yes. Yes, it can happen. It's unlikely. In other words, most of the time the animal damages 3 times, the animal goes to becoming a muad. I know that. You know that. Right now, the 4 or 5 damages, the animal's a tam every single time. Okay. Rashi over here says that the animal went into rehab. Rashi says that.
It wasn't maybe it was the same time.
Good. Okay. However it happens, the point is that it happened. It's a time every single time because again the Mishnah is interested in making a particular point. Okay, so Shor Shanagach arba v'chamisha shorim zecher zeh yisham l'achron shebehem v'im yesh ba moser yachzir l'shulafanav v'im yesh ba moser yachzir l'shulafnei panav v'achron achron nisgar divrei Rabbi Meir. And now you have a lot of people online looking to exact payment from a limited resource. I'll make the joke. We're here. It's called politics. Okay, but over here it's not. So... Sorry. So the but effectively, you have a lot of people over here looking to extract payment from a limited resource. This one animal now owes a lot of people. So who gets to be in line first? Now, here's the part where I know it's going to be tricky. And that is that you would imagine the first one that got damaged. So he's first in line. That seems reasonable, right? The Mishnah tells us opposite. In other words, the 5th victim is going to be first in line. Follow them by number 4, follow them by number 3, follow them by number 2, follow them by number 1. Now, I know that's counterintuitive. Please wait. In other words, I know that's going to offend our thinking. But please wait. And that's according to Shitas Rabbi Meir. A number of times throughout Shas, the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir, so he's smarter than the rest of us, right? The Gemara notes that. So the so it's not always going to be easy to understand Shitas Rabbi Meir. Okay. The Gemara does not say that over here, but I'm just simply saying that I understand this position runs counterintuitive, but I'm not surprised that Rabbi Meir is saying something which is counterintuitive. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shor Shava Masam Shenagach L'Shor Shava Masam Vein Avel Yafaklum Zenot Amana Zenot Amana. Now, Rabbi Shimon has the following payment structure. Okay. The numbers are really easy. Baruch Hashem. $200 animal hitting a $200 animal committing maximum damage, meaning reducing it from 200 down to zero. So the amount of compensation necessary is 200. Okay, that part's easy. Now, it's Tom, which means we divide. I get 100, you get 100. Good. Okay. So far, so good. Now, let's move along. So, Chazav and Nagar Shor Acher, Shav and Masai Machrona, Talman of Shalafan of Zenotel, Chamishim Zuz, Vizenotel, Chamishim Zuz. Now, what it does is that this animal damages a second animal. So now, and again, same numbers. The second animal was 200, brought down to zero, and now he's owed 200, but again, it's a Tom, so he's only going to get half of that. So now, what is the second victim going to get? He's going to get 100. And what about one and two, the original owner and the first victim? So they're going to have to split $100. They're each one going to get 50. Chaz v'nagach shorecha acher, shav v'masayim achronot amana v'shalafanav chamishim zuz v'shtayim arishonim, dinar zahav. And now what happens if we have now a third victim? So now the third victim, now that's damaged by this animal. So again, same numbers, start at 200, brought down to zero. He needs to be compensated 200, but 200 divided by two. Okay, because again, it's a tom. So now he's going to be receiving 100. Okay, victim number two is going to be receiving 50, and victims and original owner and victim number one are each going to be receiving 25. Okay,
but that's opposite of the start of the Mishnah, where the start of the Mishnah was ABC and yours being CBA.
Well, the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and this is Rabbi Shimon. Perfect. In other words, what we have is the Machlokas. Okay, now the big reveal is that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to Rabbi Kiva. In other words, the Gemara is going to say this. I'm just saying it right now. And that is that according to Rabbi Shimon, subscribing to Rabbi Kiva, what happens is partnership. In other words, that when the animal hits its first victim, so now what does that do? It makes owner number one an original owner, victim number one an original owner, makes them partners, 50-50 partners in the animal. Now what does that mean? Rashi says it, the Gemara says it. Now as now the 50% shareholder of that animal, you also have responsibility of Shmira. Okay, you're liable. In other words, now you are responsible and a liable partner in the animal.
Even if you have to
take a
position with the animal?
Right? Yes. And now when that animal goes ahead and hits victim number two, so now victim number two is entitled to half damages. What about victim number one? Victim number one is not just a victim, he's also an owner. Oh. That's why, right? And really, in other words, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. That's why now that he is going to take the remaining 100 and he's going to be splitting it with the original owner. Okay. I know it's tricky, but in other words, once you have the partnership model, it makes perfect sense. That's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, bit of a head scratcher. In other words, Rabbi Meir obviously was not operating with a partnership model. And Rabbi Meir says, who's going to be able to collect first? Victim number five. Well, that's going to be hard, and that's where we're starting. So Masnisin Mani Deloka Rabbi Shmuel Deloka Rabbi Kiva Ik Rabbi Shmuel Da Amar Bali Chovas Nenu Hayachron Achron Iskar Rishon Rishon Iskar Mi Baylei. Meaning the Gemara is really struggling to understand the Shita Rabbi Meir. Meaning if you're operating with a Rabbi Shmuel model, a Chov model, where the victim doesn't become a partner, he just simply owed money. So now he's first in line. Number two is second in line. V'chule v'chule. Who should get payout first? Number one should get payout first. It's really that simple. And he can Rabbi Kiva Damar Tur de Shut Veninu Hayeshba Mosar Yachzir L'Shulafan of L'chule Mi Ba'elei. And if we're following, in other words, if Rameir is following the Rabbi Kiva model, everyone, it's a partnership model. If it's a partnership model, everyone is going to get a piece. Granted, not everyone's going to get the same share, as we already explained back in the Mishnah, but kulam mi ba'ele. So am a rava la'olam, k'rabbi shmal dam rabba lechovas ninova dekash lach achron iskar, rishon iskar mi ba'ele, hachabem ma'iskin kagon, shetafsa nizik legabot heimenu, nasa alav kishomer sachar l'nizakin. So the Gemara gives what is a bit of a creative answer. Our Mishnah is following, obviously, not the Rabbi Kiva model, the Rabbi Shmal model, not the partnership model. When I say our Mishnah, I mean Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah. But rather, it's following the Chov model. And yes, you're right. In other words, the first one who was damaged, he's really first in line. You're right. But here's what happened in the Mishnah. You know what the first guy did? Victim number one, he said, you know, you owe me the money. Now, I know I'm not a partner in the animal, but I want to get paid. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold your animal until you pay me. Okay? And now, the holding of the animal until you pay me, so that's now called a Shomer Sachar. Okay. I was wondering the same. Perfect. Okay, we are way too aligned. So I was wondering the same thing as well. Shomer Sacher, that's strange. Rashi writes over here on the daf that the Shomer Sacher, because once I'm going to be benefiting from it in that it's securing my payment, that's considered Sacher.
So it's not a tangible thing, though.
I'm with you. Same thing bothered me. Bothered Rashi as well. That's Rashi's explanation. Okay. Hopefully I presented it. So now you're a Shomer Sachar. Once you're a Shomer Sachar, so now you have the responsibility of Shmira, and therefore now you're going to be held liable. So Ihachi, Yesh Bamos Yachsir Shalafun of Yachsir Labalami Baile. So the Gemara says, okay, but if there is any surplus, that surplus should go back to the original owner. So Amar Avina Hachi Ketani Yesh Bamos Ben Zakav Yachsir Shalafunov. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you don't have to understand the Mishnah that way. The surplus of the Mishnah is surplus of damage. Surplus of damage goes to the person in front of him. And the Gemara says, and Rav Yochanan, when Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan understood our Mishnah the same way. Meaning that there has to be a reason why, number one, is not getting a payout first. Because the Mishnah, Rav Yochanan said the same pshat in the Mishnah. What number one did is he took the animal as security so that he would get paid. Now number one becomes a Shomer Sachar, and now he has a Shmira responsibility. That's why when the animal now damages, number two is going to come before number one. V'chule, v'chule. And we'll keep kicking this can down the road. So, b'mayu kimtik Rabbi Shmali achi emasef, Rabbi Shimon amar shor zeh shor shav emasayim, shenagach shor shav emasayim, ve'ena nevela yafaklom, zeno tomana v'zeno tomana, chazav enagach shor achir shav emasayim, achrono tomana v'shalfanav zeno tel chamishim, and zeno tel chamishim, and zuz, and chazav enagach shor, it's just a repetition of the Mishnah. Chazav enagach shor shav emasayim, achrono tomana v'shalfanav zeno tel chamishim, zuz, ushnaim rishonim dinar zahav, asan l'Rabbi Akiva damar, turi deshut vehu, reishak Rabbi Shmuel was safe for Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara now is wondering, wait a second, so what's happening in our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir is operating with the Rabbi Shmuel model, and Rabbi Shimon is operating with the Rabbi Akiva model, and the Gemara says, and doesn't that make the Mishnah inconsistent? So Amre, the Gemara says, no, it doesn't. That's exactly correct. Your analysis of the Mishnah, perfect. Ha Amar Le Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, Shinna, Shvok, Masisim, Vatabasrai, Reisha, Rabbi Shmuel, safe for Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, that's absolutely correct. Meaning the Reb Meir viewpoint of our Mishnah is following the Rabbi Shmuel model of not partnership, but rather just simply obligation. But then, of course, you have to work out why then does the number five get paid out first? But again, we explained that. We tried to explain that. And the second part of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, he's operating with the Rabbi Kiva model, which, by the way, makes sense. Rabbi Shimon's a student of Rabbi Kiva. That doesn't always work out, but in other words, but here it does. And now, once you're operating with a partnership model, that's why once the animal damages, in other words, after damaging number one, it then goes and damages number two. And now, both the original owner and victim number one have to make a full payment to number two. Why? Partnership model.
With the Shomer Sachar model, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So he owes because of Shomer Sachar.
Right.
What happened to his sheep?
Right.
What happened to Shibud? He said the Shibud that should precede the other guy, no?
Correct. In other words, you're asking exactly the Gemara's question. That's exactly what bothers the Gemara.
But the thing is, it looks like the Shibud is being dissolved. The Shibud is being dissolved because now he actually...
He doesn't lose the Shibud. It's just that now that he's a Shomer, so now he is responsible to guard the animal.
I don't think so.
It Marnami.
That's what he's benefiting from.
Yeah. Good. Oh no! I'm going to skip parentheses. Okay, good. Okay. We are almost totally up to speed. I'm extraordinarily happy to non hasam. Okay. The last bit of today's daf is really tangential. Now, I say tangential, by the way. Obviously, it's Torah. It's beyond value, but it's not really. No longer are we worried about our Mishnah. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, We've solved the Mishnah in that there are two different parts of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and they're operating with two different models of how to understand the Tom payment. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a Rabbi Shmuel model, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a Rabbi Kiva model. That's perfect. It's done, right? The Mishnah has been explained. Now, from here forward, Right? If the music goes, I'm going to go as well because we have a chance to catch up. Okay, this is the Mishnah later on the Masechta, much later in the Masechta Daf Tzadi. This Mishnah is talking about bodily damage, right? So, and what do? I literally blast in your ear, okay, and I cause damage. But more than just causing damage, also I did it in front of other people. I embarrassed you, so I have to pay boshes. Now the payment of boshes is going to be based on a menu. It's a schedule, meaning how do you factor? How do you formula? For the amount of damage, the amount of embarrassment. So what we're given is a menu, a schedule of this is how much you're going to have to pay. So over here, I don't know how they got to their numbers, but that's in. It's not unimportant, but it's not for our discussion right now. It's not the biggest question. According to the Tanakhama, full salah, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, a mana, 100 zuz, which parenthetically, by the way. That's a lot of money. A ksuva payment is 200 zuz. This is half a ksuva payment. It's a lot of money. Anyway, I will cover the daka lechave shachay Rav Shud bar Masna lekamet Rav Yosef sella tsuri tanan or sella medina tanan. Okay, now the shita of the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is that you have to pay a sella. And now here's the ambiguity: what kind of sella? In other words, there are two types of sella. The sella tsuri, okay, and I know we don't speak these currencies, so but it doesn't matter. A sella tsuri is 8 times greater than a sella medina, right? A sella medina is a half of a zuz, and a sella tsuri is 8 times that amount. Okay, that's all you need to know. But the Mishnah just simply says the word sella, and the ambiguity is we don't know which currency, and obviously it's a huge difference. Okay, and so what are we going to do? Amar lei tenisua. So over here, Rav Yosef says, I know the answer. How do I know the answer? From our Mishnah. The first Mishnah of the fourth parak of Baba Kama is going to tell us whether Sela means Sela Tsuri or Sela Medina. And the proof is ingenious. Shnayim Rishonim Medina Zav. Now, what happened at the end of our Mishnah? So we had an animal that damaged once, twice, a third time. And once you follow the Rebbe Akiva model of partnership, so then how are the payouts going to be? So number 3 is going to get 100. Number 2 is going to get 50, and original owner number 1 are each going to get 25. Now, Isa Gadacha Tani Sela Medina. Now, if the Mishnah had been describing Sela Medina, Niflag Venisa Atresa Vesela, the Mishnah could have given one more victim, because now the Sela Medina allows us to take 25 and split into 2. If Sela meant a half of a zuz. Okay? And so the Mishnah now could have introduced a fourth victim. The Mishnah stopped. Why? Because the Mishnah hates fractions. I know that's a funny sentence. But the Mishnah hates fractions. So the Mishnah is only going to go up to cases where we no longer need fractions. But if Sela actually means Sela Medina, so you could have taken 25 and divided to 12 and a half. And how would the Mishnah express it? By saying the word Sela, because Sela means Sela Medina, which is a half of a zuz. Perfect. But the Mishnah didn't do that. You know why? Because Sela doesn't mean Sela Medina. Sela means Sela Tsuri. Okay. It's a funny proof. It's an ingenious proof. So I'm a leitana kiruchla, listening for lezel. And the counter to that is, it's not the job of the Mishnah to go and just give another example. The Mishnah is not a peddler, where the Mishnah has to go and say, oh, and here's what's going to happen now if it damages another. Meaning after the third time, when you operate with a partnership model, we get it. We understand now how formulaically it works. Oh, now the Mishnah has to give us another example. No, the Mishnah doesn't. Once we get the point, that's it. The Mishnah's going to stop. So your proof is smart, but it's not mukhrach. Okay, my havi Allah. So the Gemara says, okay, so as long as we're here, let's answer the question. Esela, is it Esela Tsuri or is it Esela Medina? So Pashtu Mehadam Rav Yehuda Amarav Kol Kesef Amar Batur Kesef Tsuri and Vishal Divrayim Kesef Medina. Okay, when the Torah says Kesef, the Torah means Tsuri. When the Chachamim say Kesef, it means Medina. Okay, Amalei Ahu Gavra. So Ho Pagad Zuzehu. So Lo Beina Nasri Laniim. So a person said, look, how much is compensation now? Now that we established that a Sela is a Sela Medina, which is a half of a zuz, you know what? Keep it. All right, that's all I'm getting compensated. Keep it. So give it to the anim. And then afterwards, he got fickled in his thinking. You know what? No, don't keep it. Give it back to me. So the Ezel the Avrei Bei Nafshe. And what am I going to do? I don't know. I'll make myself healthy. Okay. So Amale Rav Yosef Kfar Zachu Be'anim. So Rav Yosef says, well, it's a little too late. In other words, you told me to keep it. You told me to give it to the poor people. Okay. So in other words, I keep it. So the Va'afa Gavdolek Anim Hacha Anan Yad Anim Dam Rav Yehud Amar Shmuel Yisomim. Can't tell you how happy this makes me. So Einam Srichem Prusbol V'Chein Tani Rabbi Barchama Yisomim Einam Srichem Prusbol Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino Avim Shol Yisomim Hayu. When it comes to the orphans and what are they? They are going to be represented and handled by Beis Din. Beis Din serves as the Avim Shol Yisomim, and using that as a model, Rav Yosef says the same thing with me and the Aniyim. Once I get money, I am Yad Aniyim, and so therefore, once you told me to keep it on behalf of the Aniyim, that is now a transfer. In other words, I am now holding the money on behalf of the Aniyim. No longer do you get to say now give me the money. Chanan Bisha, we're going to finish up today with one more story. Takaleu Gavra. So what does he do? So he hits a person on the ear. Now Chanan Bisha, by the way, right? For those who don't speak Aramaic, it means Chanan the bad. Okay, Bisha in Aramaic means bad. Okay, he was the outlaw of his day. So what does he do? He hits his friend in the ear. Also coming to Rav Huna Amarle Zil Havle Pagad Zuzai. So now Rav Huna says, okay, so now you owe. And how much do you owe? You owe a seller. We've established a seller, Medina, which means that you're going to pay half a zuz. So havalei zuzamacha. So Chanan Bisha. So what did he do? He took out of his pocket a full zuz, but he only owed half of it. So by lemisra le minei paga de zuzay. So the lo hava mishtakale. There was nowhere there to make no one there to make change. Okay, because all he owed was half a zuz. So takale achrina viavi neale. So what did Chanan Bisha do? So he hit the guy one more time. ring me up. And he gave him I know, it's a great story. It's not a great story, but you understand. and he gave him a zuz. Okay, I think that was the proper reaction. Adkan, we stop over here. And obviously tomorrow we pick it up with a new Mishnah.